You know, this Christian journey is one of that is full of pitfalls and trials and situations that we're faced with. Sometimes we come up against what you might say is a brick wall in our walk. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I've come up against a few brick walls in my walk. And you know that it's a brick wall when you feel like you might not make it. Feel like you might fail the test. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. I've been in situations, and I know you have too. I'm pretty much preaching to the choir right now, where you considered some of the old ways just as a relief. Considered doing a few things that might make you just feel a little better just for a little while, you know. And the Bible says that we are overcomers, that we can overcome, and that we are overcomers in the end. So we're going to talk this morning a little bit about that in Galatians chapter 6, and see where the Lord will take us. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10, I'm going to read those verses, and then we'll come back and comment as we go. But before we go there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this morning, this day, for your wonderful love and your kindness and your grace, O God. That's so much better than words. O God, touch us and help us this morning to hear the truth that you've sent to us and that you're sending by your Spirit. Help me, Lord, to not get in the way of you nor the hearers, so that I won't be seen or heard, but you, Lord, will be seen and you, Lord, will be heard. And then even help the hearers, Lord, that they might also move out of the way so that we all may hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. And it's in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen. Let me tell you a little bit. Every once in a while I go over this about how God speaks. And as I was praying, I was impressed that I should just go over it real quickly. When I'm speaking, or Pastor Bob or any person is teaching or preaching the word, it's done typically in English. We all hear it. We all comprehend the English words. Everyone knows what "be" means. Everyone knows what "door" means. Everyone knows what "car" means. And it brings up the same connotation in most of our minds. If I say "car," you think of a car, a vehicle with four wheels and motor and all of that that makes up an automobile. That's not the point today. And if that's not the message that I want you to pay attention to, I want you to pay attention to the message that appears on the inside of you, that registers on your heart. I want you to listen to the inside of you. It's one of those aha moments. Have you ever had an aha moment? Oh, I get it. Oh, that's right. One of those moments that calls you away. One of those moments that impresses you. That is the message that I'd like to point you to today, because I believe that during the course of this message, God is going to speak to each of our hearts about our own personal situations and our own personal places with Him. Amen? Okay. Is that pretty? Galatians 6, I'm going to read 6, 1 through 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, that when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word for the good and edification of our souls. Galatians 6 starts out with some instructions for us. I think this is some of the best instructions that I have, that I can receive, and I believe it's the best instruction that a Christian who has been a Christian for a while has received. And it talks to us about our brethren, those that labor along with us, brethren. And it says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should do something. You should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and you should do that, and as you do it, you should be thinking about yourself and considering yourself, unless you also would be tempted. If a brethren or a man is overtaken, and that overtaken is not something that he walks along with on a regular basis, it has the idea of being surprised by something. It has the idea of being overpowered by something. It has the idea of being in shock about something, where a certain sin or a certain sinful condition or something caught up to them, and they found themselves overcome in an area. And very, very possibly having difficulty getting themselves out of that situation. It's not talking about someone who deliberately sins, but someone who was caught, someone who was snared, someone who was trapped in a sin. There's a difference in going out each day to just say, well, I'm going to see how much sin I can get under my belt today. I'm going to go and do this like I always do. It's not talking about that individual who does it deliberately, that the purpose that they're going to do it. It's one who is doing all they can to walk in righteousness, and still yet they've been caught away into something, or something has captured their attention. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Something has captured your attention. I know everybody know what I'm talking about. There's something that will always kind of pull you this way or that way. It's not a sin to be tempted. That's the first thing I want to tell you. Jesus Christ was tempted, the Bible says, in all points, yet he did not sin. So because you're tempted, because you're drawn away, or because something is so attractive that it's so difficult to not follow after it in your mind, it's not so much of a sin to be tempted, but it's the performance of it that is really, without a doubt, marked sin. Now I know Jesus places it on a higher level and say that that if a man looks at a woman to lust after her in his heart, he has already committed adultery. And so there's another level I think we need to grow to in him so that we can wean ourselves away from the attraction of the world. Trust me when I tell you this. Trust God. No, don't trust me. I keep saying trust me. Trust God as he say this. The allurements of the world have no godly righteousness attached to them. The things of the world will not help you to walk upright in the Lord. It is following his word. It's walking in his word. It's walking in his truth that will cause you to walk and live upright in him because of the instruction that you'll get about how to walk. This thing out here is going to drag you away from God's righteousness. They're going to try to, at least. And when I say God's righteousness, if you're saved, of course, you are born again and you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. The question is, do you walk in that righteousness? Do you practice that righteousness? So when I say that, I'm not saying you'd be unsaved. I'm saying that it'll draw you away from the practice of God's righteousness and will cause you to practice the righteousness of the world and the righteousness of the flesh and the righteousness of mankind. And so it says that if you are walking in the Spirit, ye which are spiritual, if you are spiritual, then you should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That's a spirit of gentleness. In other words, like I've had it done before, that's a sin, brother. God is going to judge that sin. No, you're never going to restore anybody like that. You're going to make them reject what it is you're saying because now they get a little defensive there. Well, it might be a sin, but you ain't got to talk to me like that. You ain't got to come at me like that. Why are you pushing up on me like that, man? You can't love me yelling at me like that and treating me like that. It says in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of meekness that you go to that brother, in a spirit of gentleness. And it says that you should be thinking as you do it and consider your own self unless you also find yourself tempted also. Let them think about it. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that if we should take heed unless we fall. If any man thinketh himself to be something that he's not, let him take heed lest he fall. I have learned in life that you do reap what you sow. I'm still praying for a crop failure, Brother Bobby. But they ain't failed yet, you know. They ain't failed yet, but I pray that God's grace will help me. But you do reap what you sow. You do find yourself in that or a similar situation that you were so hard about, that you were so rough on someone about. And one of the worst things you can say is, I just don't see how he can act like that. Well, you don't see yet, but you probably will one day if you belong to the Lord. So the Bible says, be meek, be gentle about this. And think about it, it could be you, and it might be you tomorrow. Now, if you don't come in a spirit of meekness, and you done made everybody mad, then they say, now look at him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just right there with so-and-so was. Now what are you going to do? And then they're supposed to be meek too, but you know how that goes. You know how we are. But we should do that because there is a temptation there for everybody. Everybody can be tempted with something. From the pulpit to the pew. Everybody can be tempted with something. Never look up here and say, that man is above temptation. He's right next to God. Don't do that. That's what I call self-deception to the nth degree, to think that. The Bible says in verse 2 that we should bear ye one another's burdens. Now, a burden is a heavy load. And when we talk about burdens in the sense that we talk about them, we talk about matters, especially matters that weigh heavy on the mind. Sometimes matters that weigh heavy in that individual's life. That we should come alongside and help them along and bear one another's burden. Rarely do I see folks helping each other monetarily. But I think we should help each other monetarily if we have the means to do it. But I also think that we should help one another mentally and spiritually as well if we are spiritual. That spiritual that the Bible speaks about is the word pneumatikos. That's a spiritual man. Corinthians talks about pneumatikos. Corinthians talk about the spiritual man. It talks about the psukikos. It talks about the soulical man. That's the man driven by his soul. Psuke is soul. Pneuma means spirit. Psukikos is a man driven by his soul. Pneumatikos is a man driven by his spirit or by the Spirit of God. And so it says, if any man is spiritual, if any man is a pneumatikos, if any man is a spirit walker, or if any man walks in the spirit according to the word of God, if that be you, then the Bible instructs you to come alongside anyone who is caught in a fault, who is caught in a trap, and that you should help bear that burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's love one another as I have loved you. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And the law of Christ is that we should walk in love. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And whatsoever you desire, then you want that for your brother, in other words. The law of Christ. What good you want for you, you want for others, especially in Christ. If a man thinks himself, now here it is. If a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know what that is? That's lying to yourself. Now you shouldn't lie, but when you lie to yourself, I've heard that called a stupid lie. You sitting up there lying to yourself, you don't know whether you're coming or going. You need to know which way you're headed, brother. You might deceive me, but you need to know where you're headed. If you're lying to yourself, you talk about trouble. I can't help you. See? So let's not do that. We shouldn't do that. The Bible says that we should think soberly. That we should not think more highly of ourselves as we ought to think. That we should think soberly. We should think on a level and think of ourselves as God has blessed us and as he thinks upon us. According as he has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But it says, let every man prove his own work. Prove. That means every man should try and make sure that his works are the right kind of works, that his works are the righteous works. Prove his own works, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What it's talking about is how we may have the tendency sometimes to compare ourselves with someone else. Well, Brother Leroy do it that way, but Brother Bob do it that way. Wow. You're getting ready to find yourself all confused and everything, you know. Paul, you know, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Well, folks pick sides. Listen, that's only one God. See? And so when we start comparing ourselves one to another, we're going to have some trouble and some confusion there. The Bible says you should take and pay attention to you yourself so that if there be any rejoicing, it'll be in you alone. The Bible also says that every man is responsible for his own soul salvation. And if you're going to compare yourself to something, compare yourself to Christ, who left us an example. Compare yourself to him. And when you compare yourself to Christ, you will be busy enough that you won't have time to look at me. You won't have time to look at my sister's shortcomings or someone else's shortcomings, because listen, we can spend the rest of our lives measuring up to the example that Christ gave us. But we can rejoice every day that we see that we've measured up to another point, that we've measured up to another point. And if you do that, you're walking in the Spirit. And then when you see me be caught in a fault, in which y'all think that I won't ever fall in a fault or be caught in a fault, let me help you with that. You're wrong. It'll happen. It has happened. And it will happen. And let me tell you, I might not come and tell you about some of the situations that I go through. I might not share it with you because of the position I'm in. I don't want to bring you down. I don't want to cause you to be depressed. But listen, you can still help me in this manner, because I bet you there's been times when you've been sitting up or eating or walking down the street or driving and you thought about me. Y'all know something. I was probably in trouble, y'all. I was probably in trouble right then. What am I saying? Pray for me. Please don't put me up there and say, oh, Brother Red, bless his heart. God is so powerfully in that man's life, I tell you. If I can only be like him. Y'all don't want to be like me. You don't know me. You don't know me. See? But I'm saying, if Sister Bonnie's name comes to you, if you get up thinking about Sister Bonnie, say, Lord, I don't know what it is, but Jesus, please be with the helper, Lord. Whatever that is. You help us. You got a phone number. Give her a call. Hey, sister, I just called and wish you a blessed day. How are you? Everything going all right? You know I'm praying for you. Man, what would that do for you, my sister? Somebody call. Woo, my God. Somebody call with something like that and say, hey, Brother Leroy, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Now, I might not be telling you what it is. Say, well, I've been praying for you. I don't know. You came to mind, but I thought I'd pray for you. I might open up and say, you know what? You know why you're praying for me? Because thus and such and thus and such is the case. Keep praying. Keep praying. Y'all remember this. Remember this about Pastor Bob and the other pastors and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember this. We're all tried and tested in the same. We're walking on the same earth. We're breathing the same air. We could eat out the same pot. Sleep in the same. We could do the same thing. That what makes one different or better than the other? There is no different, no better if we're in Christ. But every man, the Bible says, shall bear his own burden in verse 5. In other words, every man is responsible to God for himself. He's not going to look back at me and say, Leroy, what can you tell me about Lean? He's not going to do that. He ain't going to say, well, Sister Bonnie, Should I bless Bobby for this or not? He's not going to do that. He's going to be looking right at Bobby, and Bobby's going to be looking right at him. He's going to say, Bobby, when you did such and such and such, was it from your heart? Look at me, Bobby, I'm talking to you. When you did such and such, was it from your heart, or was it from just you? And Bobby's going to say one or the other. Either he's going to say it was from my heart, Lord. He's gonna be truthful either. In other words, he ain't gonna lie to the one that who is truth. You don't stand in truth and lie. it don't work like that. Because he's seeing right through you anyway. And he'll say, from your own mouth have I judged you. You judge from your own mouth. And your response will come out of your own mouth. And many things in our lives right now come from our own confession, from our own mouth, till our judgment comes. And when we stand before that, when I stand before him, I'll be standing before him for me. And he'll be measuring my heart in the balance. And it's a struggle and it's a daily walk to keep your heart right before God. How can I do that? Well, I can't change my heart. Only God can change my heart. Just like only God can change your heart. You might be able to recognize the issues or problems that don't line up with the word, but I promise you, you can't change it on your own. Again, you have to go to your source, who is the Lord Jesus, and say, oh God, look at this mess. Please, Lord, touch me. Help me to overcome. If you go to him right, you shall overcome. We are already overcomers. It's just a matter of being obedient. If you sin a sin, the Bible says, how does a Christian handle sin? We should not be burdened with a problem with having done something and still walking around worried and overburdened about it. The Bible says simply confess your sin. Agree with God with what he says about that. Dear God, I just did this. I want to confess it to you. And the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you right then of all unrighteousness. And you know what that gives you? You get that lightness back again. You get that lightheartedness back again. You get that thrill for life and thrill for Jesus back. You get that pep back in your step that you lose when you try to carry it on your own. As a Christian, you should never have to carry anything like that, ever. And if you are, I implore you today, give it to him. He said his burdens are light. And if you've got a heavy burden, you're not yoked up properly with him. Let him yoke you up properly so that you will carry the same kinds of burdens that he spoke about, which are light burdens. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In other words, the Bible says, take care of your preachers. That's what it means. Take care of your preachers. Take care of your teachers. And again, I already asked you for help when I asked you for prayer. You can help me in that way. Please take care of me. Please help me. Please pray for me so that I can make it back again the next time to minister again, so that I can be here to minister to these beautiful children and to encourage them in the Lord. And to pretty much to filter some of the things that they might think is okay and teach them what we are expecting of them, which is to glorify God. When we play this music, it's all about Jesus. It says to be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't be tricked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The unrighteous, the Bible says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He will not inherit. And this is in Galatians 5, and it talks about idolatry. That is the practice of the unrighteous. Fornication is the practice of it. When you practice it, if you practice it, how can you tell me that you belong to Jesus if this is a daily practice that you go after all the time? The effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6:9. These are the ones that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There are many folks that are so close and yet so very, very far from the kingdom of God because it shows in their practice. The Bible says God is not mocked. You're not going to snicker at him, in other words. You're not going to trick him. You're not going to play a trick on him. You won't trick him. You won't trick past him. Whatsoever, he says, a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That means that my praying for crop failures is futile. But I've been trying to sow good for many years now so that I can reap what I sow. And if you are smart at all, you will be sowing good in your life and in the lives of those around you And that will turn that reaping sowing thing around, you know. After a while, you will have reaped everything, all the junk you've sown, and now you just have good to reap. Isn't that a good thought? All you have is good to reap now, because all you've sown is good. You've sown it, kept sowing it, you're just sowing good, being a blessing, giving a good word, blessing somebody, praying for folks, giving, doing whatever you do, continually sowing good. Well, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh, that is the human desires, the ones that do that, shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The life everlasting is not just, how do I say, just eternal life. That's not even a good statement. Eternal life is not just anything. Eternal life is it. It's the top of everything that we desire. But it's not eternal life of itself, but it also speaks of a quality of life. When you sow to the Spirit, your quality of life will be very, very different from those that sow to the flesh. When you sow to the flesh, it speaks of corruption. It speaks of rotting. It speaks of going back the other direction. There's nothing really great or good about sowing to the human desires. There's no life there. There's no life everlasting there. Turn over to Galatians 5 right quick. Let's take a look at something because I want to drive this home, Galatians 5:16. And you know, this particular group of scriptures, it baffled me for many years. But the only reason it baffled me is because I was having trouble believing that it was really saying what it was saying. But let's go to Galatians 5, and we're going to start in verse 16. I'm going to read here. It says, "This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill or complete the lust of the flesh. For the flesh that comes out of the human will lusteth against the Spirit." That means lusteth means to set against the heart. "And the Spirit against the flesh." So there's a war going on there between the Spirit and the flesh. "And these two are contrary, but one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." What does that mean? That means either you're going to do one or the other. Either you're going to walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit, but you are not going to walk in both at the same time. So you cannot do the things that you would. If you walk in the flesh, you can't walk in the Spirit. And vice versa. If you walk in the Spirit, guess what? You cannot walk in the flesh. You can't do it. You're either in one or the other. And it's not that hard to do. But if you be led of the Spirit, the Bible says, ye are not under the law. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings," and the Bible says, "such like," in case you missed something, "and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now that baffles me, because I know many wonderful people that are church folk that I see all the time. And if they're involved in this type, one or several of these types of practices, I had trouble imagining in my heart that God would not still allow them to inherit the kingdom of God. But my problem has been with this. I simply did not accept what the word said. The Bible says this: if this is your practice, how can you tell me that you belong to Jesus? Because if you belong to him, you will not comfortably live in these areas on a regular basis. That's what it's saying. But if you can live in these areas on a regular basis and God not convict your heart about it, so that something will turn around, something will happen, there is no inheriting of the kingdom of God for you. That's it. If you do this, there is no inheriting. The Bible says you cannot say that. You know what the Bible called this? Jesus gave a parable about a situation where people came to him and he said to them, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity. In other words, what's iniquity? Iniquity is sin. Workers means practicers, those that practice it. He says, depart from me. He said, wait a minute. I prophesied in your name. In other words, I served in your name. I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did mighty works in your name. And so what that says to me is that works can be done in the name of Jesus even by those walking and living in iniquity. Because they're done in the name of Jesus, his name loses no power at all. And so they're saying, I did all of these great things in your very name. And you're telling me, he said, listen, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And then others, he said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. See? And so, that's what the Bible says. Unfortunately, these places are full of folks that practice this, but still say, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So they can pray, they might even see things happen or open up for them. But their hearts are full of iniquity. We don't want to hear him say, one day, I never knew you, get out of my face. That's what depart from me means. In today's walking around language, you need to step off. Get out my face. Get the step. And I don't know you, and you don't know me. And so that's what he's talking about even here. And we started out in a spirit of meekness, but listen, he's showing us something here. But then he goes on. He doesn't leave us there. He gives us a blessed following set of scriptures in 22 in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says against those there is no law. Nobody can rightfully bring anything against you if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not, remember, it's not your fruit, it's God's fruit. And so God imparts the fruit. God calls the fruit to mature in our lives. And so what we simply need to do is obey when God directs. And as we obey, the fruit will grow. As we obey, the fruit will manifest. As we obey, the fruit will get larger in our lives and broader in our lives. Now let's go back over to Galatians 6. As we finish our scriptures, amen. Verse 9 says this, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. Continue to do that which is good. Continue to do that which is well. What is that? In sowing to the Spirit. Let us not grow weary in sowing to the Spirit. Let us not get tired of doing it. Because the Bible says, just as it works in the plant kingdom, in due time, we shall reap if we do not faint. We shall reap what we sow. So it says, keep sowing. You feel discouraged? Keep sowing. You feel down? Keep sowing. If you feel like you're not going to make it, keep sowing. Because in due time, the Bible says, you will reap if you don't faint. How in the world can the plant, listen, what are we made of? Earth and water. And what do you need to grow seed? Yeah. Okay. So we're made of earth. We've got water. But we're made in the image of God. God took from the earth and made man. But then he spoke the law of sowing and reaping, the law of planting, and the law of the harvest into the earth. Why is it that law can work in this natural earth and not work in you? Why is it that you can't expect to reap just as when you sow green or any other plant in the ground and expect it to come? You know you expect it because you know that there is a law of sowing and caring and reaping that will work because God already placed that law in the earth. You and I are made of earth. The Bible tells us what we should sow in the earth of which we are made and in that image of which we carry. And it says, if you just keep sowing, in due time, you're going to get crop that's going to come up. Crop that's going to begin to manifest in fruit and in your life. And it says, in due time, you will reap if you don't grow weary and faint. And then it says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now see this. See this. Not only just us, you do good to all men. You be a blessing as you can to all men. You might not be able to bless all men, but you want to be there. We were walking in the store last night, and a lady's bag bust. Milk fell on the floor. And instinctively, and it's not to say brag, but just to give you an example, I said, ma'am, do you need another bag for your milk? Yes, I do. And she was an older lady. So, of course, I did what I could to try to hurry up and help her with that. I don't know her, and she don't know me, but she, you know, it went better for her from that point. But that, it busted, and she had a handful. Well, the Bible says we should do good unto all men as well as you can. Trust me, there's, I keep saying trust me. Don't trust me. Trust the word that you can't do good unto all men. But there are many men, women that you can do good to. And then it says, but it says specifically, especially to they who are of the household of faith. Especially to they who are fellow citizens of heaven with you. What that means is we should look out for one another. We should look out for each other. We should be concerned. I should be concerned about my sister Angela. I should be concerned for the good in her life and Brother Field and Lindell. I should be concerned for you. You should be concerned for me. Especially they that are the household of faith. We have a unique connection here. We have a unique family here. Different than even your natural family. This family that we're in here is above your natural family, and it is above my natural family. I choose you quicker than I choose many of my family members in different areas of this country. I'll visit you, I'll come to you quicker than I will many of my family members. That's just the way it is. Because I recognize that God has done a great work with you and a great work with me. And he's made something very unique and very different from those that were born from the same womb, even. That my brother and Bobby, there's a difference between my physical brother and my brother Bobby and you, brother. There's a difference. I look at you differently. We can we'll have discussions about things that me and another physical relative can't even talk about. They can't even understand it. It means nothing to them. They look at you and blink like a cold frog in a hailstorm, you know, just blinking. Oh, that's good. But I say it to Bobby, you say, amen. Don't say that's right. Don't say, where is that in the scripture? Let's look at it. Yeah, I'm going to go home and study that. I'm going to read it some more, see. And so we just benefit one another in that way. So remember, do good unto all men. If a brother or sister be caught in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And remember, you can be tempted. And I can be tempted. We can all be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. But if it's a temptation, it's strong. If you're tempted, it's strong. It's not just looking at a, you know, a little something that might bother me. It's something that tempts you. And whatever tempts you is strong. I might look at what tempts you, Brother Bill, and go, well, I can't believe he's tempted with that. But you say, man, you just don't know this. This thing is strong. See? And he could look at what tempts me and say, I never had a problem with that. You don't know, brother. It's strong. It's real strong. Amen? Well, Father, thank you today for this message that you're wanting us to learn to walk in, to be there for one another and to support one another and to carry one another's burdens. Father, we thank you. We magnify you, and we glorify your name for this word.